This month, tamoxifen could prevent breast cancer in women at high risk. New research highlights worrying differences in the results of bowel cancer surgery in England. At least 13,000 cancers each year in the UK are caused by alcohol. As under-18s are banned from using sunbeds, new figures show more than two under-35s are diagnosed with melanoma every day. And we celebrate success in our campaign to protect young people from tobacco. Welcome to the Cancer Research UK podcast. I'm Elsa Taylor. Women at high risk of developing breast cancer could one day be given drugs to prevent them from getting the disease, according to an international panel of cancer experts. In a review published in the journal Lancet Oncology this month, the panel agreed that if a woman is 4% more likely than other women to get the disease in the next 10 years, then she should be offered drugs like tamoxifen, even before signs of the disease appear. Cancer Research UK's Professor Jack Kuzik, who chaired the panel, explains more.
Well, the cardiologists have figured out a long time ago that it's better to identify high-risk individuals and provide preventive therapy rather than waiting for them to get disease and try to treat it. If you went to your doctor with high cholesterol and he said, come back in a year and we'll see if you had a heart attack, you wouldn't be very pleased. But in fact, that's still what we do in cancer. Breast cancer is leading the way in terms of prevention. And we're trying to sort of take some of the ideas from cardiology and bring them across to cancer. So the mammograms now do detect cancer earlier where it can be treated more effectively. But an even more effective strategy, I believe, will be to actually identify women at high risk and bring their risks down. And the use of drugs, of course, seems strange to do that in cancer at the moment now, but the cardiologists have been doing it for a long time. Statins are routinely used. Antihypertensive drugs in men and women with high blood pressure are routinely used, and they've been extremely effective in terms of reducing deaths from these two causes. Very, very impressive results that we've seen on that, and we'd like to bring those results over to cancer, starting with breast cancer.
New research funded by Cancer Research UK has discovered worrying variation in the results of bowel cancer surgery across NHS hospitals in England, with some hospitals having many more patients dying immediately after surgery than others. Researchers from the University of Leeds studied the outcomes of all patients who had had major surgery for bowel cancer on the NHS over a nine-year period, from 1998 to 2006. Dr. Julie Sharp, Science Information Manager at Cancer Research UK, talks us through the findings.
For people that have had bowel cancer surgery, between 6 and 7% of people were dying within 30 days of their surgery. Perhaps not surprisingly, that was more common in more elderly patients, people who had other diseases or who had advanced state of bowel cancer. But what was more worrying was that once the scientists allowed for all those different factors, they found that across England, there was actually some variation in terms of some hospitals had a much poorer survival rate. Whilst there's obviously some sort of concern around some of the hospitals that aren't doing so well, it's important to remember that this is really a first step, and we can only get improvements across the NHS if we have this kind of information. So now this information will be added to and it will be reported more regularly. And those hospitals that are doing really well, the NHS will be able to look at those hospitals and learn lessons from them, and also look at what is actually going wrong in the hospitals where they have a poorer survival rate.
A new report in the British Medical Journal, partly funded by Cancer Research UK, shows that alcohol causes at least 13,000 cases of cancer a year in the UK. The study also revealed that alcohol has the biggest effect on cancers of the mouth, food pipe, voice box and pharynx, with more than 6,000 of these cancers caused by drinking. Alcohol also causes more than 3,000 bowel cancers and about 2,500 breast cancers every year. The research is part of ongoing work by the European Prospective Investigation of Cancer, or EPIC for short, the largest ever study looking at the links between lifestyle and cancer. Jessica Harris, Senior Information Officer at Cancer Research UK, tells us what health advice people can take from this research.
Many studies over years and years worth of research have confirmed that drinking too much alcohol increases the risk of developing cancer, and that the more you drink, the higher the risk is. But the good news is that the more you cut down, the more you can reduce that risk. And we recommend that people drink no more regularly than, for men, two small drinks a day, which is about 3 to 4 units, and for women, one small drink a day, which is about 2 units a day, because at that level, the increased risk is likely to be very small.
Every day, more than two under 35-year-olds in Britain are diagnosed with malignant melanoma, the most dangerous form of skin cancer. The new figures from Cancer Research UK, released to mark the launch of our annual SunSmart campaign, showed that more than 900 15 to 34-year-olds are being diagnosed with melanoma every year. Rates in this age group have trebled since the late 70s. Caroline Cherney, Cancer Research UK's SunSmart campaign manager, talks to us about this alarming rise and gives us her tips on how to enjoy the sun safely.
Cancer isn't typically a disease that affects young people. Generally, your risk of cancer increases as you get older, so these figures are very worrying. So back in the 1970s, we saw that skin cancer was the seventh most common cancer for 15 to 34-year-olds. Now it's the second most common cancer. Back in the 70s, package holidays to places like Greece and Spain became cheaper and much more accessible, and also sunbeds were introduced to the UK. And it's likely to be these trends of having a year-round tan and burning in order to get a suntan that is leading to the explosion in skin cancer rates we're seeing now. Some sun is good for us, and we all need to make sure we go outside and we enjoy the sunshine when it comes out, particularly in the UK, when we don't see it very often. But the most important thing is to protect yourself from sunburn, so make sure your skin never goes red in the sun. And there are a few easy steps you can do to do this. So first of all, make sure you spend some time in the shade when the sun's at its strongest, usually between 11 and 3. Cover up, wear a wide-brimmed hat, and use sunscreen. Put it on generously and regularly.
This month also saw the introduction of the Sunbed Act, which was passed last year after strong lobbying from Cancer Research UK. The legislation, which came into effect on April the 9th, now bans under-18s from using sunbeds. Tracy Loftus, Cancer Research UK's Public Affairs Manager, tells us why this is an important first step towards protecting young people from the dangers of using sunbeds.
The new legislation means that under 18-year-olds will no longer be able to use sunbeds in England and Wales. It also means that if businesses let under 18-year-olds use sunbeds, then they'll be liable for up to a £20,000 fine. We're absolutely delighted with this news because we think it sends a clear message that sunbeds, using sunbeds, increases your risk of developing skin cancer. The World Health Organization has actually reclassified sunbed use into its highest risk for cancer alongside tobacco. Alongside that, we also know that if you use sunbed for the first time before you turn 35 years of age, you can actually increase your risk of melanoma by 75%. So we know that sunbeds are dangerous. We know that young people are using them still. So this measure is very welcome. We know that a quarter of a million children aged 11 to 17 use sunbeds. So what we need to have is this step in place to make sure that they're not using sunbeds. If we could go further, that would be fantastic. For example, we could make sure that all sunbeds salons were staffed. We could make sure that health information is provided and displayed. They have these steps in Scotland. They're bringing in these steps in Wales in October. So it'd be really great if England could also take these steps.
Lindsay Cohen was diagnosed with malignant melanoma at the age of just 21. She blames her cancer on sunbathing and sunbeds, which she started using as a teenager.
And then I've been using sunbeds from the age of 17, 18, going on regularly for about 6 to 9 minutes each time, and I go on about twice a week. You're carefree at that age. You don't realise the risks for the future. There was a section on the back of my left leg which would never tan, and my friend convinced me to go to see the doctor because it was a white patch with a red dot in. So we ended up going to the doctor and it turned out to be a halo mole. But in the meantime, I'd had a mole on my left calf which was slightly painful, and I showed her and it turned out that that was the more serious of the two. I feel silly almost that I was so concerned about having a tan that I put myself at such risk. It's not worth it. I'd never, ever go on another sunbed.
This month, the government published a new tobacco control plan aimed at reducing smoking rates and tackling the harm caused by tobacco. Our reporter Paul Thorne investigates.
On the 9th of March this year, the government announced its tobacco control plan for England. Called Healthy Lives, Healthy People, the plan includes measures that Cancer Research UK has been calling for as part of its Out of Sight, Out of Mind campaign since 2008. Cancer Research UK welcomed the plan, and campaign supporters were pleased to see the details finally released. A key announcement in the plan were regulations to put tobacco out of sight in shops throughout England. These will come into force for large stores such as supermarkets on April 6, 2012. But the deadline for smaller shops has been pushed back from the previous Labour government's original date in October 2013 to April 2015. As well as these two measures, removing shop displays of tobacco and cigarette vending machines, the government has said it will hold a consultation on the possibility of introducing plain packaging for cigarettes and other tobacco products. I asked Robin Hewings, Cairns Research UK's Tobacco Control Manager, his reaction to the plan.
Overall, we think the plan is a triumph for public health. It's got new ambitions to reduce smoking more quickly than has been the case in the last few years, plans to remove displays of tobacco in shops, and the government, we know, is actively consulting on bringing in plain packaging of cigarettes, all of which we think is really good.
And what sort of evidence is there that these sorts of measures will be effective in helping to reduce smoking rates?
Overall, it's very clear that the countries who do best policies on tobacco control then have the lower smoking rate, which then feeds into much lower rates of cancer and other very serious diseases such as heart disease. So the evidence overall is very clear. In relation to these specific measures, we know from Ireland, who removed displays of tobacco in shops a couple of years ago, that they have already very, very quickly changed the way in which young people think about smoking in ways that will have a significant impact upon the extent to which they do actually smoke.
What sort of evidence is there that plain packaging will help reduce smoking rates?
It's clear that the packaging is a really important tool for the marketing and promotion of tobacco, and we know that that's important for the extent to which people do smoke. Documents from inside the tobacco industry have made it very clear that they put enormous amounts of effort into making their packages as attractive as possible to as many consumers. And we know from work with people that if you take away that packaging, the cigarettes then become less attractive to people. What we also know is the tobacco industry uses the colours in their branding to suggest that some cigarettes are safer than others. So they package things as being kind of white to imply that these are mild cigarettes, which won't be nearly as dangerous or addictive to you as ones that they might package with darker colours. But in fact, all cigarettes are as dangerous as each other.
Arriving at this point has taken several years of campaigning by the charity.
The contribution of Cancer Research UK and its supporters over decades and its predecessor organisations is absolutely immense to reducing the problems caused by tobacco, whether it's in smoke-free legislation or removing sponsorship from Formula One and other forms of advertising. It's been, over decades, it's been very important. In the last few years, it's also been absolutely crucial to removing tobacco displays in shops and removing vending machines and raising plain packaging up the agenda. So hundreds and hundreds into the thousands of Cancer Research UK supporters have got in touch with their local MPs, they've written to their local newspapers, they've signed petitions, and they've actually gone and met with people to make the case for why it's important that the government takes action to reduce the harm that comes from tobacco.
So the Cancer Research UK supporters should rightly feel proud about the announcement. And do you think that amongst the wider community, the general population, do you think there's an understanding of just how dangerous smoking actually is and why these sorts of measures are important?
Yes, Cancer Research UK supporters should feel really proud for the work that they've contributed to. And I think that without them, we wouldn't be in the place we are today with the damage from smoking being much, much less than it was in the past. What's also true, though, is that people kind of can take for granted that smoking's dangerous. What's really important is that there continue to be the mass media campaigns that have been in the past, which make the case that smoking is very dangerous in new ways and ways that motivate them not to start or to give up smoking. Because we've got to remember that smoking is very dangerous.
That was Paul talking to Robin Hewings, Cancer Research UK's Tobacco Control Manager. You can find out more and get involved with our campaigning work at cancercampaigns.org.uk. We'll be back next month with all the latest news. In the meantime, you can keep up to date by joining our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/cancerresearchuk.